Reading John chapter 11 from verse 1 to verse 32. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with an ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been there, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Death is a tragedy we all have to confront one day. For some, it comes far too early in life. Some children lose their mother in childbirth. Others lose their father before they're born. Some have lost brothers and sisters, like Mary, whose brother Lazarus had just died. There is a sad finality about death, isn't there? It is as if that person has gone on a long journey from which he or she will never return. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were all close to the Lord Jesus during their earthly ministry. During his earthly ministry. We read about the Lord Jesus coming to Mary and Martha's house in Luke chapter 10. We read that this was the same Mary who anointed the Lord Jesus' feet with that perfume. In verse 5 of this chapter, we've just read that John records Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 3 records that after Lazarus had died, Mary and Martha sent for the Lord Jesus with the message, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." It wasn't after he died, it was while he was still sick. It must have seemed particularly hard for Mary and Martha to understand Lazarus' death in these circumstances. Surely somebody so close to the Lord Jesus would enjoy special protection in this life and live to an old age. Well, of course we know that this is not always the case. Some of the finest saints die at an early age. Murray McChain, who wrote the schedule of Bible readings that a number of us use, he was a great man of God, yet he died at the tender age of 29. Spurgeon, sometimes called the Prince of Preachers, died at, only 56. There are many other examples of early deaths, which of course makes it no easier when such deaths happen to somebody near and dearly beloved in our own lives. But it's clear from our passage that Mary and Martha have been speaking together about their brother's death before the Lord Jesus came, because Mary repeats to the Lord Jesus exactly the same words that Martha spoke when the Lord Jesus arrived, or when she went to the Lord Jesus. "Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." They both said this to the Lord Jesus. Mary said it in verse 32, Martha in verse 21. Well, it shows both great faith, but also an incomplete faith, in that they knew that the Lord Jesus was able to stop somebody dying. But I believe that its same incomplete faith can be part of our own failing today. When someone dies, how easy it is to say that had the Lord Jesus been here, all would have been fine. I think we yearn for those days when miracles were in abundance. When death comes, it's so easy to believe that it was not the will of God that that person passed in that strange accident or terminal illness, that the Lord hadn't intended it, and had I more faith, that person would not have died. I think this is especially true when someone dies who's a Christian. And we may think that perhaps the Lord has overlooked this matter. Had he been here, it wouldn't have happened. Some strange way he was not able to help. Well, of course, this sort of reasoning is mistaken. the Lord Jesus knows exactly the span of our lives, how long each person will live. After all, he who made us has redeemed us, and he's promised to come and take us. You think of Paul when he wrote in Philippians, Paul wanted to die. He said he was caught between the two to the Philippians. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But he felt it was more profitable for the Philippians that he should remain. He seemed to know the Lord's mind, that it was his will for him to remain a bit longer. In Matthew 10, verse 29, the Lord Jesus reassured his disciples that not even a sparrow, the most insignificant of birds, can fall to the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing about it and allowing it. These are the Lord's words. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. And he goes on in verse 31 to say, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Do you see the point he's making? If not one sparrow drops to the ground without the Lord knowing it, not just knowing it from a distance, but allowing it, how much more precious are we? And therefore, how much more does the Lord look upon us and our lives? And in particular, when our lives should end. God is sovereign over all the affairs of mankind. He does not allow even a sparrow to drop to the ground without it being within his sovereign purpose. How many of us believe that? Sudden tragedies can come out of the blue, and faithful, beloved friends and relatives can be taken from us unexpectedly when they are too young, when, as far as we are concerned, there is more work for them to do, more responsibilities for them to fulfill. Well, how are we going to react if and when such tragedies happen to us? Remember, the Lord Jesus said, the word of God says in Paul, you will not be tempted. Paul said this, isn't he? I think in 1 Corinthians 10. You will not be tempted beyond what you can endure. Have you ever thought that if such a trial comes upon you, it's because the Lord knows that you are able to withstand that trial, that temptation? In this account, we see an interesting reversal of roles between Mary and Martha. I've already mentioned the Lord Jesus' previous visit to Mary and Martha's home when I mentioned Luke chapter 10. On that occasion, Martha was the one who was so busy with the house chores that she didn't come to the Lord Jesus and tried to keep Mary away as well. This is what we read in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. There's an important lesson in this record, isn't there? How easy it is for us to be so taken up with the busyness of life that we have no time for the Lord Jesus. How many of you, children, have known that you should start the day or end the day? I prefer to start the day with the Bible and with prayer. And you think, I've got to get my homework in. I've got to help Mum with the breakfast. I've got to do my sandwiches for lunch. I haven't got time. I mean, that's really what was happening with Martha. The Lord Jesus had come, and there was too much housework to do for her to leave that on one side and to go and spend time with the Lord Jesus. Now, we can't abandon our homework. We can't abandon our duties and go and live in a cave. We wouldn't get very far, would we? And we wouldn't have enough food to eat. But there is a point here about priorities. We need to put the Lord Jesus first in all things. And when we seek him first and his righteousness, the Lord Jesus himself said, all these things will be added unto you. All the things that you need and that you worry about will be given to you if you seek him first and his kingdom. And I've seen that to be true. Times when I've been worried about something, that if I don't spend more time preparing, I will be unable to complete my duties at work. And so I therefore think, should I go to the prayer meeting? But I have resolved that wherever possible, I will attend the prayer meeting, I will attend my duties in the house of God. You know, that's never let me down. I cannot say that that's meant I've never missed a meeting because of some pressing engagement. But I think I can say that I can count the occasions almost on one hand. They are so few. And that is what God expects from us. Not that we rigidly go through a sort of system, but that we put him first in our hearts. And each of us needs to work out in our hearts what that means. I certainly don't want you to go away thinking I'm putting a burden on you to attend every single meeting. You must work that out before the Lord. But what I am saying to all of us is that we shouldn't say, my work's more important than my spiritual duties before the Lord. When we've worked out what our spiritual duties are in our hearts, then we should put them first. That's what I'm saying, to carry through our intentions, not to find that we've made an intention, an express intention, to start every day in prayer and reading the Bible, and then we have homework next day. So we say no to our personal devotions. That's when we must say yes to our personal devotions and leave the homework till we've finished it. And we should really try and organise our lives so that our homework gets done the night before, if possible. See, priorities also means being well organised. Not all of us, unfortunately, are as well organised as we ought to be. And note I said we. I'm afraid I have to include myself. I'm trying, but I wish I was better. So priorities, friends, are so important. And on that occasion, Mary showed she had her priorities right. Martha had to learn a hard lesson from the Lord Jesus. She had to have a rebuke that's been written in Scripture for all of us. This is what the Lord Jesus says in verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, she learnt her lesson. And friends, what kind of people are we if we are rebuked by the Lord? Our consciences prick us because we know we have failed him, but we won't learn the lesson next time. Well, Martha learnt her lesson, because when her brother died, she went. As soon as she heard the Lord Jesus was coming, she went and met him. John 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she'd heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him while Mary was still in the house. I just want to go back to John 11, verse 20, because look what she said in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Exactly the same as what Mary would go on to say when she met the Lord. But look what Martha adds that Mary doesn't. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And to which the Lord Jesus replies, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. She knew. This is even incomplete faith, of course, because we don't know that the Lord Jesus wouldn't have allowed Lazarus to die. We don't know. It was within his purposes that Lazarus should die, to teach Mary and Martha and you and me a really important lesson. So she did have faith. She knew that the Lord Jesus even then could intervene. Even so, I believe she was wrong to have said if the Lord Jesus had been here, he wouldn't have died. We're not told why Mary stayed behind. I think we can infer that she was a very sensitive, passionate individual. And I say that because she was the one who anointed the Lord Jesus' feet with perfume and wiped. I think, just one moment, please. Let me just make sure I don't confuse that. And wiped his feet with her hair. I was right. Just think about what that meant. What kind of sensitive love that showed to the Lord Jesus by Mary. What a sensitive soul she was. Some of us are more sensitive than others. Generally, being sensitive is a very good thing, isn't it? Some of us who are insensitive can end up hurting people because we're not sufficiently aware of what the other person is thinking. I don't know whether you are a very sensitive individual or whether you can be a bit insensitive at times. Well, Mary was very sensitive, but being very sensitive has its own weakness. And we see that here. See, she seems to have been so full of sorrow that she had momentarily given up all hope that the Lord Jesus could do anything. And may I ask us this morning whether this might have happened to us if we had been in the same position? Has our faith been clouded by tears? Grief is a strange thing because it can sometimes cause us to wallow in our grief, to almost take satisfaction from it. And I borrow from Matthew Henry's words on this verse. And I'm going to read them to us. What often is the folly and fault of mourners? They contrive how to aggravate their own grief and to make bad worse. We are apt in such cases to take a strange pleasure in our own pain, and to say we do well to be passionate in our grief, even unto death. We are apt to fasten upon those things that aggravate the affliction. And what good does this do to us, when it is our duty to reconcile ourselves to the will of God in it? I appreciate that these are hard sayings by Matthew Henry, but sometimes we need to take this medicine. Otherwise, the grief of losing a loved one can so cloud our judgments that our faith can be quite destroyed, quite overturned. On Wednesday evening, I learnt about the death of a friend. This was not unexpected, and I'd last been to see her on Wednesday evening. I think actually I heard, I'm sorry, I've got the dates wrong. She actually died on Friday evening. I went to see her on Wednesday evening. I'm sorry, I've got that wrong. I went to see her on Wednesday, and that was a lot. I think that was a lot. No, I think I went to see her on Thursday as well, and then she died on Friday evening. Well, I was greatly encouraged by my daily reading on Saturday morning, when I read these comforting words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The great hope of the Christian is that we shall all be reunited with our loved ones in heaven. That is, our loved ones who belong to the Lord Jesus. Verse 14 is our reminder that death is not the end for the Christian, for the Lord Jesus will return with all those who have believed in him. I have cause to believe that this lady, right at the end, put her trust in the Lord Jesus. And so, if I am right, I shall see her again when the Lord Jesus returns. And this should transform our grief. Yes, of course, it's right to be sad when someone dies, especially when someone is close to us. And we wouldn't be normal if we weren't. Is it wrong to wave off your son or your daughter on a long journey with a tear in your eye because you won't see them for many months? Therefore, is it wrong to wave a loved one goodbye who's crossed the Jordan into the promised land? Yes, you know they've gone to a wonderful future, but you also know what a dreadful hole they're leaving behind in your heart. And that's hard to bear, isn't it? And we see many examples in the New Testament of a great sorrow when the saints parted. Great sorrow when Stephen, though going to be with the Lord Jesus, dying the first martyr's death, when he left this world, there was sorrow. There was sorrow when Paul parted from the Ephesians. They wept. Friends, it's not wrong to weep It would be unnatural not to. And I think it's a sad state when funerals are turned into celebrations. Yes, there's a sense of celebration, but we must not allow the sadness of parting to be absent from our gatherings. They're times for solemn reflection and appreciation of that person's life. It's a reminder too for us that our lives are all too brief, passing like a vapor. Just as you walked here, I don't know if you did, if you came through the park, did you notice that the daffodils that were in full bloom just a week ago are coming to the end of their lives now? I love daffodils. It's always sad to me, but it's such a short period that we have them for. It's a reflection of our own lives, isn't it? Age and death come upon us all far too quickly. We must live our lives in the full realization that death lives at the end. And not only death, but judgment that follows death comes afterwards, where even our thoughts, our words, and our actions will be judged by the Lord Jesus himself. Death is a reminder to us that we're all sinners because it's sin that causes death. Paul succinctly put it in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Well, returning to our passage, we find, nevertheless, that in the midst of her grief, the Lord Jesus sends Mary a message through her sister Martha to come to him. John 11, verse 28. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Note that this was a secret call to Mary. Mary was surrounded by unbelieving Jews who'd come to comfort her and Martha. And it's a noble and right thing to comfort those who mourn. But human words in such situations only have limited weight, don't they? They couldn't bring the comfort that the Lord Jesus could bring. Because what the Lord Jesus brings is the promise of eternal life, which no human could ever bring. They would not understand why the Lord Jesus was calling Mary. For many of them, it would be casting pearls before swine. There's a secret call for each of us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that secret call is in that secret place of our hearts. But it comes through a messenger. But it comes to all of us. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says in this chapter and why we need to come to him. Verses 24 and 25. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We each need to believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of the living God. That is that he is God's only begotten Son, sharing exactly the same nature of the Father as his Father, one with his Father, fully God as his Father is. Yet at the same time, he was fully man, and he died on the cross for our sins. Why was he able to pay for our sins? No man could do that. Psalm 49 tells us this. If you'd just like very briefly to go that, to go there. Verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. give to God a ransom for him. No human being can redeem his brother. Why was it then that the Lord Jesus could redeem us? And the reason is because he was without sin and because he was God. God's blood was shed on Calvary. And if you think that's a strange thing, the Bible tells us that in Acts 20, verse 28. Jesus Christ died as God and man. And because he was God, he was able to redeem the whole world by the blood that he shed. Of course, not all the world will be saved. Only those who come by faith into him, to him. Only those who heed the call of Christ. Only those who are part of God's elect. Well, it's a wonderful mystery, isn't it? The great issues of life are resolved when we hear and obey the call of the Lord Jesus to come to him. And we can only do that when we realize we are sinners, and that as sinners we deserve to go to hell, and that the Lord Jesus alone can rescue us from such a terrible fate. This call came through Mary's sister, Martha. The call to follow Christ will almost always, and I leave out the dreams and visions that some have had down through the ages, but God will always use a human messenger as well. It's so easy for us to ignore that messenger, especially when it's someone close to us, a brother or a sister. But we should not despise the calling that comes through a near relation, because that is how the Lord has chosen it. He has sent us out to tell others. He's using us as his ambassadors, telling us to be reconciled to God. Perhaps one of our close family members has become a Christian. One of your family members, and is urging you to come to the Lord Jesus as well. Well, don't ignore the call just because it comes from someone with whom you are very familiar. The Lord Jesus entrusts these calls to his servants. And when it comes, we should not despise it, just because it comes from someone very familiar, rather than the Lord Jesus himself, because he is using that person. And Mary heeded that call, and that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because from her sorrow, where she could have become so flooded with it, it could have destroyed the rest of her life, she heard the call of Jesus Christ. And she went to the Lord Jesus, and she found complete satisfaction. Yes, she would always have to bear the sadness of Lazarus dying. But of course, in this particular case, Lazarus came back to life. Wonderful, isn't it? We have a real life picture of the reality of the resurrection. The resurrection is for the future, friends. This is an illustration to show the reality of it when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Because the Lord Jesus said, and I've already read it to us, that I am the resurrection and the life. The true life is in Christ. And the true life is yet to be seen, although we have a foretaste of it now when we are born again. But the true life will come in the resurrection. And there we will meet with our loved ones and all the saints in the air. What a wonderful moment that will be. What a triumph that will be. What a meeting that will be when we meet our loved ones in the air. And what are we going to do in the meantime? Well, we're not going to, as it were, keep our grief, indulge our grief. No, we must give our grief to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give us grace to help in time of need. He will bear our sorrow for us. And even more wonderfully, in some amazing way that you and I can never fathom, he will take the place of that loved one who has been taken from us. We have that promise from the Psalms, if you would just like to go there. I think it's in Psalm 27 or 28. It's Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Some of us have lost both our mothers and our fathers. And it's sad when we think about them. But the Lord Jesus will take their place in our lives. We don't lose then, do we? Because we have that sure hope that we will see them again. And in its place, in their place, the Lord has promised to come and take us up himself. And his love is better than any human love. So we don't lose from death. We actually gain. Amen.